Exodus 20:14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." What if you do? Can you learn something from the incident? That's coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. We are going to be talking about a very sensitive topic. We're talking about adultery, and we're going to be talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Meredith and Rob Kendall. They are very familiar with the topic and are going to share their experiences and insights from this event, and they aptly titled it Lessons from an Affair. I can't wait to dig into their story and find out how they can help us as men and women of God who are married and who are beset by temptations to overcome those temptations or to heal from succumbing to those temptations. So lots of things are going to be going on today. So I can't wait to talk about it in just a few moments. We definitely want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support. If you want to find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. We also want to thank our partner, Readio App, which is an app solely dedicated to highlighting Christian fiction and nonfiction books on an app where you don't have to compete with Amazon. To find out how you can get your catalog uploaded to Readio App, go to readioapp.com. And a special thank you to our Patreon team for making this show possible. We do showcase Christian authors around the world and have been doing that now for the past 8 years. How exciting is that? If you want to find out how you can be a part of that ministry, go to patreon.com/writestuff. We would love to have your support. And if you can't support financially, like I always say, we covet prayer. So please consider prayerfully financially supporting this show. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, I'm so very glad you are here with me today. We are going to be talking about lessons from an affair. when we say our vows, we say forsaking all others. But what happens when that doesn't happen, when for whatever reason you find yourself falling into temptation? And our guests today are going to really explore that topic with us, and I can't wait to delve into their insights. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributors today, Meredith and Rob Kendall. Meredith and Rob, how are you doing today?
We're good.
Good to be here.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to be with me. This is a topic I'm very interested in delving into. When I put the topic out there, I got a lot of crickets because this is something that people don't want to talk about, which is, like I said before the broadcast, that's why I want to talk about it, because we don't talk about it. And I think if we are allow ourselves as Christians to be vulnerable, if we allow ourselves to be open and transparent about certain things, perhaps others can learn from our mistakes. And so I'm really glad that you're taking time out of your schedules to help us learn what we can learn when we fall into temptation, and how we can put safeguards up, I guess, maybe, or even just learn how to heal from it. Because I'm pretty sure we have listeners out there who have been affected by an affair. And so we want to have a very open and frank discussion, as well as show grace and mercy where needed. So I want to thank you again for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Good to be here.
I can always read a bio, but one thing I always say to my guests is that that's so boring. So go ahead and tell us about yourself in your own words.
I'll let you start.
Okay. Let's see here. Do you want me to talk about the affair, or do you want to just talk about who I am?
Tell us who you are first.
Okay. Born and raised in the church, youngest of seven kids. My mom and dad are 94 or 95 and 90, and they're still married. And so I had an incredible example. But what I learned was a very comfortable lifestyle that fit me well. I didn't really have a relationship with Christ until actually after the affair, when I realized I was a hypocrite and I went against everything I ever said I believed. Now I'm a grandpa of seven incredible kids and seven incredible grandkids, seven incredible grandkids. And my wife and I have been in ministry for almost 20 years, and we're bivocational and remodel houses.
Amen. Meredith, go ahead and talk about yourself.
Well, I did not grow up in the church, actually. And I met Rob in college. We were pregnant before we got married. So you could imagine how that went, marrying a very religious person who grew up in the church. Just kind of lived life. Didn't really have goals, didn't have aspirations. That was not taught growing up in my house. Basically, it was just getting from day to day. Because of Rob and sticking it out with me, I became a very successful realtor, became very successful in sales. I tell people all the time, I used to be that person that would come in your home and when I sold Tupperware and say, and you can drive this van just like me. Because my husband saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and he helped me find that relationship with Jesus in the long run.
The fact that you have such two disparate backgrounds. And I got to tell you, I understand the real stage. I quit in 2019, a lot to deal with it. I dealt with the mortgage side. I feel you on the real estate. And I like that you said how your husband saw something in you that made you become who you are today. And I think that's a good thing to start off with, because we do understand the dynamic of marriage. So before we get into lessons from an affair, let's talk about marriage really quickly, because marriages are under attack on a spiritual level as well as on other fronts as well. So let's talk about marriage and why marriage is such an important part of society.
I'll jump in on that one. You know, if you look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we were created to be in relationship. Everything that God created in relationship, he said, it is good, until he said, it's not good that man's alone. And he created a partner. And I think even one of the things that we have learned over the years that has really helped me as a husband and the leader of my family is that the Hebrew word that says that God created a helper for him is the word Azer. In Hebrew, it's called Azer. And it's the same word that David uses in the Psalms when he says, "Where will my help come from? My help will come from the heaven and earth." An Azer is something you can't live without. It's not something that is subservient, that's supposed to meet your needs and take care of you all the time. It's something that literally you can't live without. And so when I began to realize and began to study what it really meant to be the husband and the leader of our family, and understanding that my wife wasn't somebody who was just supposed to cook and clean and take care of me, that I think that changed a lot in how I led and how I ended up serving you more as a husband instead of always being the one that was served.
Yep.
Meredith, share your thoughts as well.
Well, it's funny that you say that because after I became a Christian, we were in a church that very much taught that women were to stay home, cook, clean, dinner was supposed to be ready. You know, you're supposed to thank your husband for the paycheck and just dote all over him. Now, there's nothing about doting, you know, nothing wrong with doting over your husband, but doting him because you're being told that you're less than, that's where the break came, where you don't feel worthy and you don't feel that this marriage is a two-way, you know, relationship. It's more of a master slave, I guess. You know, you kind of just do what you're told and pray you can get through the next day.
You know, if I were to base my marriage on those criteria, we would have left a long time ago, like 1,000 years ago, because I didn't stay home till 2 years ago. I didn't stay home. I was the one who worked. My husband stayed home. I was the one who brought home the bacon, whatever you want to call it. So very non-traditional in this household here. I would have probably like, oh my gosh, you know, I do find that very interesting because there are some cultures who think women are subservient. They're just supposed to serve the husband in whatever capacity available. And I love the fact that you said, Rob, about Azar, and it's not just, you know, someone to look behind you. It's something you cannot live without. And the first thing that came to mind very easily was you cannot live without air. If you don't have air, you can't breathe. You die, you know. And I like that. And that may revolutionize someone's marriage and they understand that my husband, for the fact of, you know, or my husband, my wife, are not here to serve me, but we're to serve each other. And there's a good friend of mine named Bill Fortenberry. He and his wife have been married about 15, 16 years. And he said recently, he said, if we fight to put each other first. That's what he said. He said, we fight to put each other first. So sometimes she may win the fight. Sometimes I win the fight, but we fight to put each other's needs first. And I thought that was just the cutest thing and the most poignant thing that he said, because I thought that made a lot of sense. And so I wanted to get your ideas about marriage and see what else that we can take to the conversation, because some people may be listening and say, just get to the part about the affair. Just get to that part. And you're like, well, you know, there's more to this than just that, because it wasn't just the affair. But I would say too, and this happened yesterday, I was listening to some 90s music. And one of the music, I was listening to R&B from back in the day because I was just feeling nostalgic. I was listening to one song. I said, he's talking about cheating, but the beat sounds so good, right? And when you're a kid listening to this song, you're like, oh, yeah, I want to do this to someone who's not my man. You know, he's like, oh, my goodness, you know. It sounds so cool when you say that. And so let's go from a worldly perspective, because there are people now who say people only get married just so they can have an affair because marriage is boring. As you look back over your life and experiences that you've gone through, what would you say to such a thought?
I think we have done such a disservice to the vows of marriage and to the relationship of marriage, where it has become such a throwaway word. And the world has just become so oblivious to making it work. Everything is just, you know, drive-through service, you know. throw it away, put it in the microwave, and, you know, throw away dishes. And I think we take that into our marriage because it's just the way the world is right now. It's like nothing lasts. Nothing is built to last anymore. And until we get back to teaching people that a relationship is very important and you make it work, I think we're going to find, fortunately, a lot of people not getting married, just cohabitating and open marriages and or what, you know, the swingers clubs and, you know, and just all of that, because it's okay with the society. This is it's no longer a taboo anymore to do that. It's okay with society. And I think
well,
that's
sure.
scary.
Sure. When I was growing up, you know, if someone was divorced, that was kind of a bad thing, you
right.
know, and today it's almost, if you're not divorced, it's a surprise. People here, we've been married for over 35 years and they say, that's amazing. I don't know anybody who's been married that long. And I'm thinking, wow, where have we gotten? I think the throwaway society is right. And it's even gotten worse with social media.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to have friends, quote unquote, friends that you've never met in your life, you have no relationship with. And to unfriend somebody is just a click of a button and you go on about your day. We don't thrive on relationships anymore in this world. We are very consumer driven. And if something gets old and we don't like it, we always have to have the latest, greatest thing. And that might mean that the latest, greatest thing is a 20-year-old blonde bombshell because my wife's now in her 30s and she's starting to have wrinkles. And I think that that's a very easy transition for people to make.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Rob and Meredith, about this, because it is true that we don't put the energy into relationships. Most people who know me know I value relationships quite well. I think people currency. I see relationships as people currency because I think the people around you can really affect your world in so many different ways. And so I'm really glad you mentioned that. And it's funny, too. I was reading about some of the oldest couples that have been married the longest. I think the oldest couple that have been married ever, you know, pre-flood, is a lady. They have been married for like 88 years. Like that. And I was like floored hearing that. He was like 117 and she was like 110, something like that. And
wow.
I was just, you kind of just go, wow. Exactly. Wow. 88 years. Like they've been together longer than they were without each other. And eventually when he died, she ended up dying like a year later because they've been together for so long. And the idea of being married for 88 years, we go, wow, that's incredible. You were with someone for, and I'm going to just say it, almost 100 years, but, you know, it's like, wow, 12 years, you would have been 100 years together. So it's very amazing to see that marriages can last that long. I had a friend of mine saying he didn't want to get married because he said, no one has proven to me that marriages can last. And he was actually quite vulnerable about putting his heart out there to someone and it doesn't last. And I understand that vulnerability because you do take a risk. It is a risk. You do take a risk in some way, but it's pushing through that some people get upset with. So that's some of our introductory talk about lessons from an affair that we're talking today with my guest co-host and contributor, Meredith and Rob Kendall, as they share their thoughts and insights into this very important topic. You can weigh in on our topic by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air. Hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Peach. Show with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Conflict is expensive.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
And this is Get Hope.
Emotionally, financially, relationally, it diverts valuable energy essential to accomplishing just normal activities that we're involved in every day. A study of on-the-job issues ranked marriage and career conflicts as events that rob people of personal peace and productivity. You know, Jesus came to resolve the ultimate conflict between humans and God, and he's still resolving conflict today. A conflicted relationship that comes before God in prayer suddenly gives way to avenues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Got a big conflict in your life? Well, tell Jesus about it in detail, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
In today's chaotic world, isn't it good to know there's hope? And if you'd like more hope, Lauren Libby has resources available,
including a free 30-day devotional he'd be happy to send to you.
Get yours today at GetHopeRadio.com.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring His gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
We're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Soul Show. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. I'm so glad you're here with me as we talk about lessons from an affair with my guest co-hosts and contributors today, Meredith and Rob Kendall. They are here to share their insights and experiences into being in an affair, about adultery, about marriage, and about how you can heal from it. Some people think you cannot heal from such a thing like this, but they're going to show us, and obviously they are, rules to the exception to the rule. So I'm really glad to have them both with us. And Meredith and Rob, thank you once again for being with me. I was looking up online as we prepare for our show today. I just looked up adultery in the Bible, went to Bible Gateway just to kind of get some idea of what the Bible says about adultery. And in the beginning of the show, I read from Exodus 20:14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And here it says in Leviticus 20:10, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be surely put to death." Proverbs 6:32 says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doth it destroyeth his own soul." And then here he says, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I have fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot's houses." That's Jeremiah 5:7. And that's just a few of the verses I picked up. So obviously adultery is a big deal to the Lord. Obviously this is not something he condones. Obviously this is something he says, no, no. And yet we find ourselves as Christian brothers and sisters, and even non-Christian brothers and sisters for that matter, we find ourselves in adultery. We find ourselves. So I wanted to make it clear that the Bible is very clear that this is a bad thing. This is not something he wants us to do. Okay. So let's clear it up right there. And I read from the Old Testament deliberately because I'm going to bring something about it in the New Testament later on in our podcast. Let's go ahead and talk about this thing. To talk about this thing, I'm going to pull up a comment that we received from Sheila in Detroit, Michigan. Sheila says, "Wow, courage to speak about adulterous relationships. Some people stay together but never forgive." And that's Sheila from Detroit. Sheila, thank you for joining in the conversation. So having said that, let's get started about lessons from an affair. Meredith, on your website, you say that you soon had an affair after you were married, and then Rob had it 12 years later. So, Meredith, share your story first. Be free to be as transparent, as frank as you want to be, and I'm going to be quiet so you can just listen in.
Well, so I was working and Rob was working. And he was actually working, I think, two or three jobs at the time. And so first things first, you got to understand we were, very young, just early 20s. We got married. I turned 19 3 days after we got married. And he was 20. Very young.
Okay.
My mom and dad were divorced at 10. My mom got remarried when I was 12. And shortly after my marriage, she was divorced again. Okay. So seeing a relationship, it was not something that I brought into the marriage. What I brought into the marriage was you just get divorced and walked away. Okay. And so the other thing that I brought into the marriage is that my go-to behavior growing up was I had such a low self-esteem. I was always told that I was worthless. I was always told that I would never amount to anything. Those were the nicest things I was told by my stepdad, who was actually my abuser. And so I didn't care how you treated me. Just tell me you love me and, be with me. Okay. And so that is who I was on the inside. And I didn't realize this until years later, that when you take that into a relationship, relationships are, they kind of fail very easily because they don't meet your expectations, even though you don't really have an expectation, but something happens. And I was very codependent. Okay. And I should have said that earlier. A codependent person takes care of everyone else and does not worry about taking care of who they are. So I was very much in codependent relationships. Again, just tell me you love me. Just hold my hand. Just let's make it work, even if it wasn't healthy. So taking all of that into our marriage and me having low self-esteem and not feeling worthy, here my husband is working three jobs, trying to take care of our family. We've got two kids. Mm-hmm. And I go to work and then someone starts to pay attention to me. And that filled something in me that should not have been filled by anybody but my husband. And I can't tell you that it was filling me because it really was not, it was lacking for anything except for Rob was working so much, which I should have been very grateful for. But I guess in my whole, if you look back all these years later, you're going, okay, let me break all this down. But again, it was just somebody paying attention to me. And because that was my go-to behavior, it was kind of my addiction in high school was boys. I didn't do alcohol. I didn't do drugs, but my addiction was boys. I always had to have that relationship. And that right there created the excitement, I guess, or the, somebody else is looking at me or wants to talk to me or whatever. And not knowing, any better, I guess, because I just, what, 20, 19, 20, something.
You'd have been 22 or 23.
Yeah, because 22, 23. And I'm like, relationships and marriage didn't mean anything. It was something you threw away. And I hate to say that, but I think that's really what happened.
Well, and the guy was married too.
Yeah, and the guy was married.
It's no big deal.
Right, and yeah.
And, he fulfilled the role that I wasn't fulfilling because I was gone all the time. Mm-hmm. I'd get up and I was gone at 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m., be to work at 7. And there were nights where I wouldn't get home till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And so she was lonely. And she was working at a restaurant, and this guy started paying attention to her.
So, very long. not maybe a week, if that,
yeah.
Of just flirt. It was more flirtatious kind of thing. And then he ended up coming to the house one time, and luckily nothing ever happened. And then I came forward, told my husband because of the guilt and the shame. And we actually called. This is the part that really gets us We actually called the church and our pastor and explained to him what happened. We never went to the church to meet with anybody. We called them on the phone. I still remember I was in the bathroom calling, you know, talking. And he told us to talk about it that night and never bring it up again.
Okay.
And I will tell you right now, the worst advice you could ever give anybody, because
okay.
we didn't talk out. We didn't, you know, hash it out. We didn't figure it out. It was buried under the rug. And, but because they were the pastors, because they were the religious leaders and they know better because they deal with this stuff, we obeyed the rules, which took a toll on our relationship.
Reminds me of those those movies where they said, "We shall never speak of this again," you know, one of those things. And to interject with that, because that is the old school form of advice. But thankfully, the Lord tells us our words are important. Do you know what I mean? And it's important for us to talk about things. And that's being more and more accepted now. Even at church, some things are still not told and talked about. Again, I got crickets when I was blasting this out everywhere. But we're talking about it. And so hopefully someone will be listening to the show and maybe they're going through something similar. And because we're talking about it, we can help aid in some way of healing for that person, whether they survived, their marriage survived an affair or not. So go ahead and continue your story, Meredith. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But, no, you're fine. But I think I want people to understand that even though nothing happened, it still was an affair. It was a break in our marriage.
Well,
it was a...
And to say nothing happened is not completely accurate. There was a lot of physical contact, but the final step wasn't taken.
Yeah,
I think that's important to bring up too.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm trying to listen
right.
and put my two cents in there. But yeah, I think that's important to mention too. But go ahead.
Yeah. It, you know, and I think that's where people also forget is the whole emotional affair and just filling that cup up. And, you know, that people don't understand that also breaks a marriage and breaks that foundation. So... but, you know, for my part, you know, Rob and I'm grateful we worked on our marriage. I did quit my job. Rob got me another job. That was what started my sales career. and we were involved in the church, but we weren't Christians at that time. You know, we were playing the game. So, again, statistically, we should not have made it. And I am grateful that we have a but God story because there's so many people that don't have that, whether mm-hmm. they are in a relationship with Christ or not. They don't have that but God story. They just – and he could have. He could have just walked away. But I'm grateful. I am very grateful that he didn't, you know, and for me, I want people to know that marriage vows are very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time, I am grateful social media was not around when I was unhealthy.
Wow.
Because I hear all the time of old boyfriends showing up or old flames showing up on Facebook. And next thing you know, people are getting divorced. People are walking away from marriages. And that just, again, shows us how unhealthy we are if we're willing to walk away from a marriage because an old flame showed up or something gets filled in us. And again, that talks about marriages and how we really need to start working on marriages again and getting back to basics. What does a marriage look like and how you work as a partnership, not as a hierarchy?
Hmm. That's good stuff there, Meredith, that you said. I like how you also clarify that just because it didn't go, like Rob said, to the final step, that emotional high was there. And it affected your relationship. Like you said, it broke community between you two. And I think that was an important part of this, of the conversation, because there are some people who may not have gotten physical with someone that they're interested in, but they have an emotional connection with that person. And I think that's important for you to bring up as well in this topic. So what I want to do is have Rob tell us his story at his, again, be as frank and as transparent as you want to be, but tell us your story. And then we're going to go take a break after that, then come back. So go ahead, Rob, and I'll just be quiet.
Okay. So we were part of this church that basically began pushing that the wife should be quiet, never question the husband, that she was really subservient. The kids should be, you know, taken care of. When the husband comes home, dinner should be on the table. The kids should look good and be quiet. The house should be clean. And one of the things that I always loved about Meredith was the fact that she would challenge me. She would make me think. She would push me to be a better person. And doing all of that. And it was interesting that as that began to happen, another couple from the church that we were going to, the wife began paying attention to me. And it really kind of surprised me, but it was interesting. One of the things that they had said, one of the things that this book that she had been given about how a wife should respond is she should never refuse her husband. And so our sex life really became a responsibility to her, and it wasn't passionate at all. It was just something she would never refuse her husband, and there was absolutely no intimacy in that. And so to have someone pay attention to me and have someone act like they were actually interested in me was very attractive to me. It was something that was missing for us. And the flirting began, and it was just a very innocent process when it started, a little comment here and there that began to very quickly turn into something more. And I would hate to say, I mean, we got to the point where I was ready to leave Meredith and begin a relationship. This other woman was going to leave her husband, and we were going to start our marriage together. It was one of those things that I could even justify in my mind that God wants me to be happy, and I'm not happy in my marriage. My wife doesn't treat me properly, and became very, very self-centered and very selfish in our relationship. It was all about me and her not meeting my needs. And this other woman began doing everything she could, even to drive a wedge between Meredith and I. She called me one day at work and said, "Hey, Meredith just called me. She said she wants to come pick you up for lunch, and you guys are going to figure out all the problems you have while you're at lunch today." And right then the other phone rings, and I pick it up, and it's Meredith. And she says, "Hey, can we go get some lunch today?" So Meredith had actually asked the other woman to watch our kids so that we could go to lunch. And so it was one of those things where our marriage was boring. There mm-hmm. was no intimacy, no excitement. And there was just this, it became very, just this desire to feel wanted and needed and loved and respected and all the things that each of us want to have. We were just in a rut. We went through the motions. There was no thought to the marriage. It was just what we did. And so to have someone pay attention to me, really, I went down a trail. I'm not blaming anybody but myself. I'm not saying that I was suckered into this. I'm not saying that as much as this woman did play into us having the affair, I am not saying I was not responsible. It was 100% me. And so it did become physical. I actually moved out. We were filing for divorce. We were trying to be as nice to each other as possible, even through the divorce. We were going to write up the paperwork ourselves. And strangely enough, right before Christmas of 1997, and this started in about September, somewhere August, September of 97 is when I started this relationship with the woman. And Christmas, Meredith said, can you come home, spend the night in the extra room, and we can have one last Christmas together with the kids. So I came home that night and stayed in the extra room. Next day, I said, you know what, I'll stay through Christmas dinner, and then I'll go back to my place. And I never left. I stayed the entire day and did a little work around the house. And the only thing I can explain it as is it was like the scales that had been covering my eyes fell off. And over the next 6 days, I was back at the house every single night. I would go home. I would grab clothes. I would go to my place. I would get clothes and then come back and spend the night in the extra room. And it was just this incredible time of us realizing how much we had neglected each other and how much I was about to walk away from. And I couldn't do it. At the same time, I think that from an addiction standpoint, I will certainly say that I believe I was addicted to this, to the feelings that I had. I was not addicted to her. I was addicted to the feelings. It's actually a term called limerence, where there is an addiction to the feeling of wanting to be loved, and the object of your limerence, it's so unrealistic and so unlogical the way you behave when you are in limerence with someone. And so I came home. We started spending time together. This woman had gone to see her family over Christmas, which broke my time with her. And so I focused on my family again. Meredith had given me the rings back, her wedding rings, and said, I don't want these until they mean something. She tried again and again and again to restore the marriage. She did not want it to end. And so on New Year's Eve at the strike of midnight, I asked her if she would accept her rings back. And she said yes.
Oh, my. Wow. That is incredible. Go ahead.
Yeah. The difference was I knew what it was like to not really hear anything about what had happened. So I told Meredith, I said, look, my number one goal right now is to prove to you that I can be trusted. I have broken the trust of our relationship. You can ask me any question you want for as long as you want to ask it. There is nothing off limits. Now, be careful what you ask, because I will tell you the truth. I will be completely honest in my answers. So, and there were a couple of questions she asked, and I said, do you really want me to answer this question? And she said yes, and I would answer those questions because I knew the answer was going to hurt. But I, to this day, we couldn't afford cell phones back then. We got cell phones. I said, you do everything you can to trap me if you want to. Ask me where I am and then show up and see if I'm really there. And there were times I was remodeling houses back then. I had left my job and we moved to a new town to start over. Breaking that addiction was important for me. So we moved back to Nashville and I began remodeling houses. And there were times where she would call and say, hey, where are you at? And I would give her the address of the new construction house I was working on. And she would say, what do you want for lunch? And I'd tell her, and she would say, okay, well, I'm in the driveway and I brought this. And she would walk in to make sure I was actually where I thought I was. And I was perfectly fine with that. I wanted her to do that because my desire at that point in time was to regain the trust so that she could believe when I said something that it was true and I was not lying to her in the marriage. So that was, and I'm telling you, I think that was, I would recommend that to anybody over talk about it tonight and never bring it up again. That was hard. Still is. It still is. There's a lot of things that I don't know about what had really happened. And I have to be on guard every day that I don't let that bother me.
Wow. Just listening to your story is just incredible. Like you said, statistically, you should have failed, if you will, but God. And obviously God wanted to use this to help someone else. I truly believe that from the bottom of my heart. And so I'm glad you guys both shared your stories. And what we're going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, I want to now start to probe some things that you learned from these from these lessons. You shared some of them already, but I want to probe some more deeper into the story. And we still have the opportunity for you to call in and weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on air. Hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High influence ebooks and audiobooks.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
We're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5, talking to my good friends Meredith and Rob Kendall, and about Lessons from an Affair. Before the break, they both shared their stories of how they both submitted to adultery in different ways. And now we're going to probe some more and see how the lessons that they learned from these affairs can help us in our Christian walk as married couples, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Even if you aren't married, even if you're considering getting married, things of that nature, I think we can still learn from this. And so, Rob and Meredith, once again, thank you so much for being with me. Thank you for being so transparent and being willing to share your stories, because I think that's one of the best parts of this discussion is the willingness to be open and vulnerable about these things. One of the critiques I have about the church sometimes is that we do not allow our members to be vulnerable. If they fall from grace, they're usually a heavy fall, but you kind of wonder, what if you had allowed them to say, hey, I'm not having a great day, or hey, I'm having problems. Hey, my kids are doing this. My spouse is doing that. What if you actually said that, let them do that instead of always having to put on a facade? So I'm really thankful that you are sharing your story with us and talking about it. And so the first question I want to ask you, Meredith, is for some women out there, how did you put yourself in a mind frame that even though my hubs is working late, even though he's not here on time, even though he's doing this, how do you have that element and reconcile it with a woman who's feeling neglected by her husband? How does that work for you? What advice would you give to that wife out there? If she's at home, let's say.
If she's at home.
Or even if she isn't, for that matter, because career women are career women too, you know. So.
You know, yeah. Knowing what I know now, it had to actually do more with me. Because he was out providing for the family, you know. And he was doing what he was created to do, was to provide, to be the head of the household, you know. for me, unfortunately, it had more to do with who I was and who I didn't feel worthy. And I didn't understand that the man did provide, you know. Again, growing up, money was always an issue. Money was always fighting when I was growing up at home. And, you know, mom had to take care of everything and she had to do everything. And so I didn't see that healthy relationship. So I think there's two different ways. Number one, if you're not having a healthy relationship first or didn't see a healthy relationship first, you know, and it's you, we need to work on you before you end up in this, you know, in this place. And then secondly, if you are and did have a healthy relationship and you're feeling alone, then that's where you find not a group of women, but like one, you know, that one person that you can really talk to, going to encourage you to stay in that marriage, to do things, to have that relationship with your husband, even if they are working so much or different things. And again, he wasn't working because he was a workaholic. He was working because back then, minimum wage was like $3.35. And our
fortune
was, you know, like, and our rent was $335. And he was doing
landscaping.
So if it rained, he didn't work, you know. So it wasn't that he was a workaholic and never home. So I think there's that aspect. But number two, I think finding only one person, just that one person that can encourage you and be your sounding board, that's not going to be that person that says, oh, well, you just need to leave, or you just need to go do this, or you just need to go spend this much money or whatever. But also finding your happiness in who God says you are, I think would have saved a lot. Because my identity, I didn't know where my identity came from at that point in time. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I'm so thankful that you mentioned that, because sometimes, like Rob was saying, the church is teaching you, oh, to be ancillary to him. And he's like, I like the fact that she challenged me. I like the fact that she showed interest in me. And then she stopped doing that. And it's like, wow, thanks, you know. And that brings to my question for you, Rob, because you mentioned in your story how intimacy in particular just became a responsibility. It's just, well, he wants this, so I have to give this. And it's like, you know, men want to be just as pursued as I would say women would want to be pursued. You know, I was thinking about the movie Fireproof. I don't know if you guys have seen Fireproof.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that movie. But there's the scene where everyone swoons. Well, I swoon. And when Kirk Cameron goes after the guy going after his wife, like, oh my gosh, really? You know, right? And I love that scene. It's like one of my favorite scenes in the movie. And so talk to us just from a male perspective. I'm not saying all men may feel this way, but talk to us about how that's important for a man to not just be, not for you just to, and I hate to say it like this, I'm trying to say it a way that's not come off like me being a jerk. I'm trying to say it. you know, Rob, share your thoughts about that. Just, you know, what did you learn from that? Because I'm going to say it wrong. So what did you learn from that you can share with the men out there? There you go.
You know, it's interesting. One of the best pieces of advice that I got when we were trying to recover from the marriage was a guy told me, he said, date your wife like you're pursuing her. And I thought, you know what? It's so easy to get into that humdrum routine of marriage where you don't do the special things anymore that makes her respond. I didn't compliment my wife. I didn't notice special things. I didn't bring home flowers. I didn't make the bed one day for her. I didn't cook dinner. I didn't do any of those things. She always was serving me. And so one of the big things for me is she, as the leader in this relationship, she responds to how I lead. And so if I serve her and I treat her like a queen, then in response, she feels loved and she wants to respond back. And so it's really easy for me just to put the blame on her and go, well, you know what? She just wasn't meeting my needs. And so I went somewhere else. But she wasn't meeting the needs because I wasn't someone that deserved to have my needs met by the way I treated her. And so, you know, if you think about the husband's role in the marriage, Christ says that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church, which means if somebody's going to suffer in the marriage or if somebody's going to suffer in the relationship, it should be Christ, he suffered for us, or the husband who should suffer for his wife and kids. And so if we've both had a long day and we're both exhausted and we're both tired, when we come home and the house needs to be cleaned, you know what? If I'm going to serve my wife and love my wife as Christ loved the church, then I'm going to be the one to clean the house and let her sit down and maybe even rub her feet after I clean the house, because I am going to serve my wife. And I will tell you, from a marriage standpoint, there are a lot of really good benefits to doing those kind of things, because she suddenly feels loved. She feels like her love cup is full, and which means it begins to overflow and that love can come back to me. So that would be the biggest thing is, you know, love and serve your wife. To this day, it started, I don't know how many years ago, I got up one morning, I had seen this video of this Marine who said, if you want to change the world, start by making your bed. Because if you make your bed, you get your mindset that, you know, you're going to accomplish something that day and you're going to do it well. So I got up one morning, Meredith was down making the coffee. I made the bed and went downstairs, didn't say a word. She walked in for us to get ready that morning. She looked at the bed and she went, oh, the bed is made. That was a great day. And I'll say that was even a better evening when we went to bed that night. And that basically every day for 10 or 15 years now. And it's just one thing where it's something I get up in the morning and it changes. Sometimes I won't make it till later in the morning. And sometimes I do it first thing. But I make the bed because I know she appreciates that. And as I said, when her love cup is full, and knowing her love language is important too. I don't know if you're familiar with five love languages.
I am.
But Meredith loves acts of service, and she loves words of encouragement. So if I can serve my wife and give her words of encouragement, she is more interested in being intimate, and which, of course, most men, intimacy is physical touch, is our number one love language. And so if I fill her love cup, she is more apt to begin filling my love cup just naturally. We hold hands and we, you know, people will giggle. And when they see us walk by, we're 35 years in marriage, and we'll walk through them all holding hands. And people just go, oh, that's so cute. But you know what? It's a way that we show each other that we care about each other. We love each other. Even as we've been sitting here talking on this podcast a couple times, she's reached over, she's grabbed my hand, and she's kissed my hand. That just those little things that you do when you're dating to show that you love the other person that we just neglect once we get married, because, you know, the deal's done, you know, the paperwork's been signed, and now we just go about our lives. So date your wife date your wife like you're pursuing her again. And that to this day has been one of the greatest pieces of advice that I've gotten.
I know, just listening to you guys have incredible knowledge and insight into it. And I know you're taking this knowledge into a medium that you can share with other people. So tell us how you're going to be sharing this information with viewers and listeners out there.
We are starting a podcast. We actually have not even recorded the first one yet. That will come out hopefully in a couple of weeks. We'll get the first one out. We'll do every other week, release it on a Monday morning, called Honest Marriage. We are going to be real with our story. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're going to be raw with it. And it's going to be relevant. It's going to be real stuff that's going to be displayed that you can put into your own marriage. So we're going to tell our story. We've had a rebellious teenager. We've had bankruptcies. We've had financial issues. We've owned businesses. We've been in corporate America. We've both had affairs. And we're going to be transparent. You know, it's funny because you were talking about how often the church will say you just don't talk about those things. I've had many leaders of churches look at me and go, dude, you've got to stop telling people you've had an affair. And I do that. I believe God takes us through things so that we can share them with others so they can learn from it. And they can be encouraged. And they don't have to follow the same dumb things that we did that that they can grow without having to go through the pain and the suffering that we did. So, yeah, we're going to be real, raw, and relevant with our honest marriage.
I like the fact that you mentioned about the pastors, because, again, it's the facade. It's the idea that you have to show a certain look to people. And I think that's one of the reasons why when scandals happen in the church, the fall is so crushing, because the person was on such a facade and didn't give that opportunity to be vulnerable, to speak out, things of that nature. I had an author friend on my show last year. He talked about that with his parents. He said, you know, my parents were such leaders in the church, but behind closed doors, they had a miserable marriage. And he said that you're not allowed to show that vulnerability. And I think, not saying that you're supposed to, and there should be some caveats to, not saying that you should be still doing it, you know, like, oh, I'm going around, you know, collecting all the deacons' wives and stuff like that. You're not doing that. You're just saying that, hey, I've fallen. And again, another show I had on here where one of my guests said, failure is an event. It is not the rest of your life. It's a one-time thing, and you can grow from that. And that's what you've shown just through your story. I can tell you guys have grown from these events, and you've learned from there. You keep going. That built your marriage, you know. Because I was worried. I was like, how do you talk about this? Are they going to be okay talking about this? What am I going to say? You know, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say. But at the same time, it's the very fact that you want to talk about it that just appeals to so many people. I know our listeners who are going to listen to this probably in archive are going to have questions for you. And if they want to get in contact with you with questions they may have, even they want to get some counsel from you, is there a way they can do that?
They can. We have our emails. The best one is MeredithSageKendall@gmail.com.
And in the few moments that we have left here, because I know your website is lessonsfromanaffair.com, and from the few moments we have left, I would love for either of you, whichever one who wants to do it, pray for our marriages out there because they are under attack. Pray for those who have gone through an affair who are still hurting, those whose marriage may have ended because of an affair, that they find healing, and just pray for however the Lord leads you. So whoever wants to pray, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself so you can go ahead and do that.
Well, one last thing I wanted to say really quick, and then I'll have Meredith close in prayer, is, you know, I get concerned anytime I hear somebody say, oh, we've affair-proofed our marriage. There is no such thing as affair-proofing your marriage. You always have to be on guard. You always have to know and look for any little crack and just be prepared always to defend your marriage and stay truthful to what you said you're going to do, and understand that God created that marriage. And in fact, he created it to the point where he relates our relationship with him to a marriage. So,
our Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. We thank you for the marriages that have made it. Lord, we pray right now for the relationships that have been broken. We pray for restoration, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, that you would just open up the hearts of the men and women who are going through affairs right now, and that they will have the scales fall out of their eyes as Rob did. And Lord, that they will come running back, whether female or male, but come running back to their spouse, repentant and want to have restoration, Lord. You are the God of restoration, Lord. And we just want to say thank you that you sent Jesus to die on that cross for us. And Lord, yes, an adultery, an adulterous affair is not your ordained purpose. But Lord, we know without a shadow of a doubt that those who come to the cross asking for forgiveness, you generously give. Lord, so we know right now that there's families out there that have been broken. We know right now that there's relationships that are being broken, that Satan is telling them it's okay, and that the world is telling them it's okay, and it's not, because that is not your ordained purpose for marriage. So Lord, right now we just ask that you would just scoop up these marriages, that you would just let them see your light in a way that is new, that is fresh, and is on fire. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Meredith and Rob, for sharing your story. Thank you for just being so transparent. parent, being vulnerable, and everything in between, because I was really just blessed by the words that you both said, and thank you. And can't wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
All right.
We look forward to it.
And we were talking today to Meredith and Rob Kendall. They are from lessonsfrominaffair.com, where they share their experiences about both being involved in an affair. And they're going to be starting a podcast called Honest Marriage as well. So stay tuned for that. It's going to drop every other Monday here in a couple of weeks. And I hope you definitely subscribe to their podcast, because they wonderful and insightful things to share about marriage, about living, about working, and so much more. You can just tell that just from listening to them. And if they've been married for 35 years, chances are they can possibly help you in wherever you are in life. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. And God bless.